Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, bringing to you his great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 2330 Kemper Lane, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, and this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our King, he's our Judge, he's our Lawgiver, and Yah is our only Savior, and not just of Israel. Yahweh is the Savior of the world. And I praise the mighty Yah for this great opportunity that allowed us to come again before you with his great, holy, and exalted words. I know it has been a while, over a week, where we had not been coming to you live daily, at least myself, other than the Sabbath day, because we've been diligently working on the five books of Moses, the study guide that I've been telling you about. And yes, we have completed it, and is being printed in a book form in a half to a couple of weeks to get it back. So, but until then, we're going to begin our teaching on the five books of Moses. Now, this will be unique and different than what most people are accustomed to learning in the first five books. But one thing you're going to receive and you're going to get is the truth, and it's going to enhance your studies in the law. One of the things, one of the books that we did bring to you to show you how we will be dealing with these various books, we brought to you the book of Genesis. And we're just going to do a little review of the book of Genesis to get your mind back acclimated in your studies. And what we showed you in the book of Genesis is 12 different generations, not just because some slick way of learning, a slick way of teaching, some type of different way than everybody else. No, that's not what the Creator was showing us at all. The word Genesis comes from the Hebrew word Bereshit, which means in the beginning. And how can you know your beginning and you don't even know the generation the gene come from? This is essential to your learning. And there's things around you that you have no clue about. You don't search out because you don't think it had nothing to do with you anyway, when it has everything to do with you. And it has everything to do with the laws of the Most High. In the book of Isaiah, the 8th chapter, I just want you to see this. Truth. Isaiah, the 8th chapter. And no matter where you find the truth is in the word of Yahweh, you can go before I said this truth or after I read this truth, and it's still going to be the truth. And nothing will cause it to deviate from the truth, because it is the truth. And that's the way you determine the truth, because there is no deviation with the truth. There's no errors, blemishes. You can't add to the truth. You can't take away from the truth. The truth is the truth. And then look what this says. In the book of Isaiah, the 8th chapter, the 20th verse. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. In other words, these two things is what Yahweh will measure his word with. The law and the testimony. And why the testimony? Because the testimony also is a law in which we're going to learn. And most people don't know this. They don't know the testimony is a law. They will tell you and believe and have you believe that the testimony of Yahweh is some type of rumor. It's some type of just story, not realizing it's the law. They will go as far as say it's commentary. Yahweh don't speak commentary. Yahweh speak the law. And so we're just going to go over some of these generations to get you back in the mindset of studying alone. Again, In Genesis, there's 12 different generations. Throughout the 50 pages of Genesis, 50 chapters. Now, I'm not talking about just a generation from Adam to his son, to his son's son, to his son's son. No, I'm talking about there's 12 distinct generations that is spoken about in the book of Genesis. One of the first generations the scriptures speak about is the generations of the heavens. Now, do you know about the generations of the heavens? What the heavens produce, what they are, what it contains, and what it has to do with the laws of the Most High? Most people don't. They don't. They just look at the heavens as the heavens. If you were some type of Gentile nation, and we're going to read about some of these Gentile nations, if something came from the heaven, or if something came from some place other than what you know of as earth, they would call it a foreigner, an alien, which alien means foreigner. They said, this is alien. We've seen aliens, honor, reverence that you will have for something that came from the heavens. You will call it an alien, a foreigner. But that's who you come from. That's who you're supposed to be derived from. According to the scriptures, look what the Creator said. In the book of Genesis, the first chapter, 26th verse. And Elohim said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So Elohim created man in his own image. In the image of Elohim created he him. Male and female created he them. That's what the heavens say. That's what Elohim is saying. But we will call this thing some type of alien. That's who we come from. This is the image that we were made out of. And many of these Elohims in the scriptures who didn't create, and they just servants, other than the true and living Elohim, whose name is Yahweh, the scriptures call these Elohims messengers. Messengers of the Most High. And ask yourself, when these messengers appeared to our people, appeared to the ancients, when they appeared to the righteous, you know what happened? You know what they did? They have a different type of mindset, spirit, outlook on the heavens, angels, than the wicked, than the evil. Let me show you something. Let me show you, because we're talking about the generations of the heavens. Because how can you know anything about the heavenly hosts, angels? How can you even know anything about the law? For the scriptures say the law is settled in heaven. This is where the law comes from. We didn't get these laws from man. We got these laws from the Most High, whose throne is in heaven. Our laws are not, they didn't come from the earth. And not just our laws, when the Creator said we are to remember the law of Moses, which is in the last chapter of the Holy Scriptures. Remember the law of Moses. Because who you think gave us the laws of heaven? Moses did. Moses gave us those laws. Those laws was handed down to Moses. So anything we know about how we to live on earth came through Moses, just Moses. Moses wrote the laws. But undoubtedly, there were righteous and holy men before then that undoubtedly knew the law. Because this is all about the law. That's why Yahweh said, remember it. And let me show you something. Watch this. In the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, first verse. And it says, and Yahweh appeared to him in the plains of Moreh. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. That's what Abraham did when the Most High appeared. But look how they're described when they appeared to Abram. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men stood by him. That's not foreign to us. These are no aliens. These three men stood by him because they look like men. And is that strange? No. Because we're made in their image and their likeness. Watch what it says. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. He didn't try to take pictures of them. He didn't try to draw them. He didn't try to make no money off of them. He didn't try to get some followers after him trying to say, well, I seen this and I seen that. Now he got a bunch of followers following him. No. He bowed himself. And why did he bow himself? Did he bow himself because that was the law? Did you read that in the law? That when you see an angel or you see something come from heaven, that you ought to reverence them. You ought to bow to them. You ought to prostrate yourself to them. How did he know this? Well, undoubtedly, he was taught about the generations of heaven. He was taught that we were made in the image of Elohim. He was taught that the angels are made a little bit higher than us. So he knew about himself. But I talk to people who say they done seen angels, they done had dreams of angels, visions and angels, but never, ever have they ever told me when they seen them, they bowed themselves, they prostrated themselves, they reverenced the very thing that they seen and brought them the message they trying to interpret. Nothing about their reverence, but in the scriptures, most of the times you read about these angels' interactions with mankind, this is what the righteous would do. Not everybody. For the most part, this is what they would do. Not only Abraham would do this thing. Watch what Lot did in Genesis, the 19th chapter. Now to you, this ain't a law. So, therefore, you're seeing an angel from heaven, it won't mean nothing to you. You're not going to reverence. You're not going to bow. You're not going to pay homage at all. Watch this in Genesis 19, the first verse. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Why would he do such a thing? Who told him that? Where is the law that you're supposed to do that? Is that just commentary? Is that just part of this storyline that they just wanted us to see? Or is this the law? Is this the way that we are to conduct even ourselves? Since the scripture says to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this world, it is because there is no light in them. And I can understand why people don't, they don't talk about reverence, an angel that they seen. I understand it because most people, they not seeing what they think they seeing anyway. That's number one. And number two, they not accustomed to what, to who, to when, to where we are to show this type of reverence because they don't know the law. They don't reverence and keep the testimonies of Yahweh. And this is one of his testimonies. Here it is. Show you how important this is. According to the scriptures, the word angel come from the Hebrew word malach, and they translate it as angel, but just not angel. Malach just don't mean angel. Malach means messenger of Yahweh. Messenger of Yahweh. And once you understand this is a messenger of Yahweh, then you mean to tell me you won't demonstrate reverence? Here it is in the book of Malachi. Turn there. One of the last books of the scriptures. Oh, it is the last book. In the book of Malachi, the second chapter, watch what it says. Because this has everything to do with our understanding and how we are to conduct ourselves. Watch this. In the book of Malachi, the second chapter, the fifth verse, oh no, the fourth verse, and you shall know that I've sent this commandment to you, that my covenant might be with Levi, says Yahweh of hosts. Covenant was with him on life and peace. And I gave to him for the fear with which he feared me, and was afraid before my name. This is how Levi reverenced the Most High. Sixth verse. The law of truth was in his mouth. Iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips to keep knowledge. And if you call yourself a priest, you think you're a priest, then show us your knowledge. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. And who do that? Go to the priest. Not our people today. They rather tell you, well, we don't know if you're a priest, because you can't prove you're a priest. Well, if I can't prove I'm a priest, then why in the scriptures it says the priest's lips to keep knowledge? The first thing I'm looking for in the priest is not his records. I'm looking at his knowledge. Watch what it says. And they should seek the law out of his mouth, for he is the messenger of Yahweh hosts. And what is a messenger? Again, it comes from the Hebrew word malach, just like an angel. In other words, for he is the malach of Yahweh of hosts. Because that's what it says. In other words, for he is an angel of Yahweh of hosts. Because that's what a messenger is. a messenger, he's just a priest, is just a certain type of angel or a messenger on earth. And then you got messengers or angels in heaven. But they're messengers. And where is their reverence? Because if you know the law, you see the law at the mouth of Yahweh's messenger. And how can you be a messenger of Yahweh and you don't know the law? Now, are you getting this? Furthermore, in Malachi, the third chapter, and we just talking about the generations of heaven, because once you begin to study the generations of heaven, how can you study it and you don't even know about the very thing, the very one you were made in their image and likeness? The first thing you should want to know, well, how am I made in their image? And how am I after their likeness? You should want to know that. And you should know that. In the book of Malachi, the third chapter, watch what it says. Behold, I will send my malach, my messenger. And that could be someone from heaven. That can be someone from earth. That can be his king. That can be his priest. That can be his prince. That can be whoever his messenger is. But once you begin to study, then you'll know exactly what messenger he's speaking of. And he shall, because it could be his prophet, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the master whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the Malach of the covenant, which means messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, says Yahweh host. But watch what it says. But who may endure the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appears? People think there's some ghost coming, and who's going to endure the day of his coming? Like he's bringing brimstone and hellfire. No. Who's going to endure the day of his coming? Because once he's come, he's coming with a message. This is the point. He's coming with a message. So who can endure the message? Who shall stand when he appears? Who's going to stand upright and prepared and ready? Because why? For he is like a refiner's fire. In other words, he's here to get you together, your spirit, your actions, your mouth, and everything else that has polluted us and took us away from the Most High. And what is that? The law. And lights the fuller soul. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi. So whoever he is, he's not one of the sons of Levi, because he's the one going to purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto Yahweh an offering in righteousness. This is what you're going to learn from the generations of heaven. This is why we're writing this, doing this, speaking about this. Last scripture before I go to another generation that you should know about. And just because you are an angel, just because you are a prophet, a priest, a king, a husband, a father, that don't determine your righteousness. That's just who you are. That determines nothing. Watch what the Creator said in the book of Psalm 78. in the 49th verse. It says, he cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, trouble, by sending evil angels among them. He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence and smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of hell. Just to show you who he's speaking about. And Yahweh didn't send them no messengers of good. He sent evil angels among them. This is what you learn. Part of what you will learn about the generations that are having. If you take the time to begin to study the production, what the heavens produce, and the heavens produce the law. The only reason the sun rising and the sun set is because that's by law. So when the scriptures talk about the book of the law, it's not just talking about some laws for us. It's talking about laws, period. This is the book of the law because it's talking about the law. The beasts, what they do, that's the law. What the angels do, that's the law. What we do is supposed to be the law. And just because you're an angel, I don't mean you scot-free from everything. No, you got to keep the law too. And all angel means is messenger. That's all it means. There's one more scripture on that. It just means messenger. And either you a messenger of Yahweh or not. Here it is in the book of Job, the 4th chapter. Watch what Job, see, Job had this knowledge. Watch what it says. In the book of Job, the 4th chapter, the 18th verse, behold, he put no trust in his servants. No trust in his servants. Why would Yahweh trust his servants? No. And his angels, he charged with folly. In other words, they're angels, spirits, just like man, full of folly. We made in an image and likeness. This is what we got to know. But what about another generation? It's 12 different generations. I can't bring them all to you. That's why you got to study. But what about the generation of Ishmael? Here it is, in the generation of Ishmael, the very first time in the scriptures where you would even see the word angel. It's in the book of Genesis, the 16th chapter, dealing with Ishmael. Just showing you how these things connect. How these things interact with our life. And ask yourself, that's the law. Watch what it says. In the book of Genesis, the 16th chapter, the 7th verse. This is how, what happened when she fled away from her mistress, Sarah. And the angel of Yahweh found her by a fountain of water, in the wilderness by the fountain, away to Shur, and said to Hagar, Sarah's maid, from where came you? Where will you go? She said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of Yahweh said to her, return to your mistress. Submit yourself under her hand. She's your mistress. She's your master. Submit yourself. And the angel of Yahweh said to her, I will multiply your seed exceedingly, that it shall not be number for multitude. And the angel of Yahweh said to her, which means the messenger of Yahweh, behold, you are with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because Yahweh has heard your affliction. And here it is. One brother asked me, can you show me in the scriptures? And it's cool. I love these type of questions because I can prove what I teach. And he, whether you believe it or not. Yeah, well, can you show me where an angel done named somebody in scripture? Yeah, right here. This is one of many places. Again, it says, an angel, 11th verse, the angel of Yahweh said to her, behold, you are with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because Yahweh has heard your affliction. And we're not talking about the generations of heaven right now, even though we're talking about an angel. We're talking about the generations of Ishmael. Watch what it says. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. In other words, this messenger, this angel, he's not some prophet. He's just telling you by law what her son will become, even before he becomes it. And he became it. And today we don't have to wrestle and fight. Well, who is the Ishmaelites today? There's no argument and fight about that. All you got to do is look out on the earth and see who this wild man is and how his hand will be against every man and every man against him. In other words, a lot of times he's starting to fight. And then some people bringing a fight to him. But at the end of the day, this is what happens when you're a wild man. Wild man do wild things. And so you constantly in some type of controversy. Because why? You're wild. And this is the type of man we look at. And we know this, the Arabs today. A wild man, they can kneel 100 times a day and pray. But that's not going to stop them from being wild. And what kind of man would you call a man that would put a bomb on him and just go in a grocery store and blow up the grocery store? What did they do to you? For the women and children, what did they do to you? There's no order, ethics, honor among your killing? And no, it's not. But with Yahweh it is. Yahweh tells us exactly what to kill and what not to kill. We have order in everything that we do. The righteous do. Just like in heaven. They got order. And we have to have order on earth. But this Ishmael. Look what else it says about the generation of Ishmael. That you got to know. This is not something hard to figure out. Watch this in the book of Genesis, the 17th chapter, the 20th verse. Talked about the generations of heaven. This is the generations of Ishmael. In other words, these generations, it's not just a bunch of names. There's testimonies. There's laws that you got to know. And that's a law, what Ishmael will become. Watch this in the 20th verse. And as for Ishmael, I've heard you. Behold, I have blessed him. In other words, even though he's going to be a wild man, and his hand is going to be against every man, and every man's hand is going to be against him, Yahweh still said, as for Ishmael, I've blessed him. Well, how did you bless him, Yahweh? And will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget. And I will make him a great nation. And they are great. And they are blessed. You can call them whatever you want to call them, but they're blessed. They got plenty of money. They got their own land, and they practiced the things that that was handed down to them. And they have a ancestry that they can go back, study, read, and they're not lost on who they are. Because if you lost on who you are, you don't even know who you are, how can that be a blessing? No, according to the scriptures, that's a curse. And now you're talking about us. But watch what it says. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear to you at this set time in the next year. And you're going to see how peculiar and how profound that law is. What law are you talking about? That the covenant is going to be with Isaac. That's a law. That's the word of Yahweh. Yahweh said to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in it. And he's letting Abraham know, look, I'm going to bless him. And that's a law, because that's the word of Yahweh. But my covenant is going to be with Isaac. And the scriptures say the law is the truth. And that's the law. And the covenant came through Isaac, as Yahweh commanded and prophesied. Also, in the book of Genesis 25, still dealing with Ishmael, the 16th verse. And these are the sons of Ishmael. And these are their names, by their towns, by their castles. I wonder why I said castles. Matter of fact, over in that part of the world, that's what they call them. And that's what they look like. They look like castles. Over here, they call things mansions. And it look like a mansion compared to a castle. Because a mansion can't even be compared to a castle. 12 princes, just like the messenger of Yahweh said. 12 princes according to their nations. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael. 137 years, and he gave up the ghost and died, and he was gathered to his people. This man lived to 137 years. No wonder Yahweh wanted us to know about his generation. And I may add, him and his brother Isaac buried their father, Abraham. They both did. Which brings me to another generation. Because we just read about Ishmael. And some people don't even know who the Arabs are today. Many of them are the Ishmaelites. You just ain't studied their generations. And you don't know the various laws that will befall them. The very signs and wonders that will behold them. Just like you don't know about the generation of Esau. There's no mystery about the generation of Esau. Most people, they get confused and all flustered. And is Esau white or Esau black? Is this Esau or is that Esau? It's not hard to tell Esau if you go by the word of Yahweh. Matter of fact, it's very easy when you just trust in Yahweh's word. Watch what it says in the book of Genesis 25. We just read about Ishmael. It's not hard to tell him. What about Esau? In the book of Genesis 25, talking about Esau. And we're going to start reading at the 21st verse. And Isaac prayed to Yahweh for his wife because she was barren. And Yahweh was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it is so, why am I dust? Well, in other words, what's going on with me? And she went to inquire of Yahweh. And Yahweh said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from your womb. In other words, at this point, there's nothing in your mind to tell you, nothing that you should be conceiving and imagining that these two people can be any kind of way confused who is who. These are two manner of people altogether. They shall be separated from your womb. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people. Elder shall serve the younger. Yahweh is already showing you how to differentiate from the two. Watch what it says. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. They twins now, but two different people altogether. Watch this. And the first came out red. What do that mean? And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And why did they say he came out red all over like a hairy garment? Because the word red actually means rough. It means rough. Most people think it's just talking about color. No, it's not just talking about color. That's why I said like a hairy garment. Everything red ain't rough and hairy, but Esau was. But Jacob wasn't no red, hairy garment. Two different manner of people all together. And they called his name Esau. Why? Because he was red all over like a hairy garment. And when he was born, that's probably how he looked. Red all over like a hairy garment. What else? What is there to figure out? And after that, came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Yaakov. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bore them. But look at the 29th verse, talking about Esau. And Jacob bore pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Yaakov, feed me, I pray you, with that same red pottage. Now, why? What's up with this red? Now he want to eat some red pottage. For I am faint. And watch. As a result of his love for this red pottage, it could have said any type of food. But it said red pottage. Watch what it said. For I am faint. Therefore, what's his name called? Edom. And who is Edom? What do Edom mean? Well, Edom means red, ruddy, blood in the face. This is what Edom means. And Jacob says, sell me this day your birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? In other words, Esau had no respect for his birthright. None whatsoever. Care about no birthright. Care about none of this stuff that seemed to be right. That seemed to be something that somebody would care about, but not him. So when he received his blessing, not his curse, his blessing, you think he respected, honored it, reverenced it? You think he loved it and enjoyed it? Of course not. He didn't even respect his birthright. So what makes you think he was going to respect his blessing? Watch what it says about his blessing in the book of Genesis 27. We're talking about the generations of Esau. People trying to figure out Esau. No, it's this red man. And that ain't hard. A lot of people, they don't call him red all over. They talk a little bit different now, but they do still call people rednecks. Why y'all call them rednecks? Why y'all call them red, period? Who made up these terms? This is how the Most High described this man. Red like a hairy garment. And there was nothing there that Yahweh deviated from. But watch his blessing. In the book of Genesis 27, the 38th verse. It says, and Esau said to his father, Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept, because Jacob had took the other blessing. And Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, this is his blessing. Behold, your dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. In other words, that's your dwelling. Your dwelling is, you're going to have the dew of heaven from above. That's a blessing. You're going to have the fatness of the earth. That's a blessing. But this is what Esau didn't like. And by your sword shall you live. And he really didn't like this part. And shall serve your brother. And it came, and it shall come to pass when you shall have the dominion that you shall break his yoke from off your neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the curse with which his father cursed him. No, this is his blessing, not his curse. But Esau took it as a curse. But he was blessed. And why did he take it as a curse? Now, what red people do you know who can get real red, very blessed? It ain't the Ishmaelites, because they don't get red. We know what their blessings is. Wild man, his hand will be against theirs, and theirs will be against his. But not Esau. It's not talking about some red man in the rural areas that don't run nothing, own nothing. It ain't blessed from the dew of heaven. No, it's not talking about no people like that at all. It's talking about a people. Nor is it talking about some black nation. What black nation do you know that's running the world? So blessed that everybody look up to them. There's not a black nation on earth today that people looking up to. But there's a lot of black nations on earth today that's looking up to other people. But which one y'all look up to? The Ethiopians? The Nigerians? The Sudanese? I'm just trying to figure out what black nation do you look up to today that's responsible for the world's wealth, that has power, that can control man's thoughts, his mind, his actions, whether he's enslaved or not? There's no black people that exist today that will fulfill the blessing of Esau? And you know that. But you will make Esau black. This man ain't black, he's red and hairy all over, just like Yahweh said. And yes, because he cut his hair, we still know the truth. All you got to do, watch when he If he ever take off his clothes, then you will know the truth. And what do he control? The world's wealth. One of the richest people on earth. And why do he have to live by the sword? Because the world hates him. Because he is so rich. And the world hates him. Rather than in Germany. Y'all think just because a white man look at another white man, they all white people ain't the same. Just like all black people ain't the same. And these white folks, they know Esau versus another white man. They know where they come from. They know who they are. The only people that destroy for lack of knowledge is Israel. And that's what we're trying to give you today. The knowledge of Elohim. And to show you this man that controlled most of the world's wealth. Very small nation, very small people, but they control everything. Everything you're watching on TV, they control. That's why anybody say something against them, watch them be off TV. Watch they be reprimanded. Watch they be suspended. Watch something happen. Let something happen to one of their stores and see what happens. And why do they have to live by their sword? In other words, it don't look like they start nothing. But they always in some type of controversy. And why? Because they got to live by the sword. That's the law that they got. As a matter of fact, there is nobody that has greater, spend more money on their defense more than them. There's nobody more fortified than them, more fierce than them in living by the sword. Here it is. They surrounded by their enemies and still can't be touched. And why? Because Yahweh said you're going to live by the sword. And I can assure you, they're doing a great job at what Yahweh said they was going to do. And watch this. Again, the generations of Esau. So you this last scripture on Esau to show you who these people really are. Here it is in the book of Psalms 83. Watch what it says. The very first verse. Keep not silence, O Elohim. Hold not your peace and be not still, O Elohim. For lo, your enemies make a tumult, and they that hate you have lifted up the head. Now, how did they do that? They have taken crafty counsel against your people, consulted against your hidden ones. Who is this? Has done such a thing like this? They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. In other words, these are some people that tried to cut us off, cut our name off, cut our power off, our inheritance off, and everything about us off. Because once they take your name, then they can take everything from you, as they have. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against you. And watch the two people they say. The very first two. The tabernacles of Edom. And who is that? Jacob's brother. Still mad because he didn't get the blessing that he wanted. Just like many of our people today, they don't get the blessing they want. They mad. Not realize, still a blessing. And the Ishmaelites. Since Ishmael was not the covenant child, he going to confederate with Esau, and they don't even like each other, and try to cut our name off. And these are the two main people that's fighting over our land today. These two people. And it don't belong to neither one of them. Both are imposters. One is trying to say they us. They trying to say they Israel without saying they Israel. So they just call themselves Jews and other things, but they're not going to say we are Israel. Because they trying to cut the name off. And then the other one act like they the covenant people. So they created a whole nother book that will try to aspire for them to be the covenant child. And they're not either. So they both are imposters according to the scriptures. But it's not hard to see who this confederacy is with. There's no two black nations confederate against us. No, but these two, they definitely are. They the only two fighting over the land. What black nations are fighting over the land and say this is ours? But nobody. But you will believe that Esau is someone else other than who he is, and Ishmael is someone else other than who he is. But we know the truth. And the third generation because we're just doing a review and showing you how important to study these generations are. This is nothing that I'm teaching. Really, if you study, you're going to learn way more. And the other generations is the generation of Yafet. I'm just going to bring out a couple scriptures. In the book of Genesis, the 10th chapter. Watch this in the generation of Yafet. We talked about the generation of Ishmael, the generation of Esau. We even talked about the generations of Ham. And that's nothing that you want to know about, because then you study that generation, you might have to reverence some that you don't want to. That's the messenger of Yahweh. I can show you all through the scriptures how the messengers of Yahweh was reverenced, honored. But you don't want to honor no messenger. You would rather say there is no messenger of Yahweh. Well, Yahweh is. Yahweh said it is. That's like saying there's no messengers in earth, in heaven. In the book of Genesis, the 10th chapter, the second verse. I start at the first verse. Now, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Yafet. And unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Yafet, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, and Meshach, and Tyrus. And then it continues on and starts talking about their sons. But here it is, the fourth son of Japheth is Javan, or Yavan. And it don't take a rocket scientist to know that the fourth son Javan of Japheth, this fourth son, is a Gentile nation. This is where the Greeks come from. People, how you believe that the ancient Greeks was black? Oh, there might have been, there was black people who lived in Grecia, in the land of the Greeks, but the original Greeks, these people were Gentiles. The Greeks are not a black people. These people were Europeans. Why do you think they're celebrated as they are? And you notice it's the fourth. And what Yahweh would do at the fourth is no different than the sons of Ham. Watch the fourth son of Ham. That's why the Greeks were so great, because they are the fourth son of Japheth. So I can understand how Yahweh, and they ruled the earth, and why Yahweh was sending his power through them, but also the curse of leprosy, because there's only one way you can get white in the scriptures, And it's not because you done moved in some type of geographical location. It's not because you hear some black men whipping up some scientific experiment in a lab and made them a white person. No. The only way you can get white, according to the scriptures, is from the curse of leprosy. And so once we found out that the Greeks was white, we knew how they became white, period. The fourth son of Ham, watch what it says. Cush, his son. Mizraim, the second born. Put, which is Libya, the third, and Canaan, the fourth son of Ham. And where is Canaan? Well, that's the Holy Land. No wonder it's the Holy Land, because it's the fourth son of Ham. So this is not rocket science to me. Period. Just like if you go from Noah and talk about the sons of Shem, you got Shem, you got a fox eye. Let me show you that. And show you the fourth son of Noah through Shem. Watch what it says. Through the children of Shem, Elam, Ashur, a fox-eyed, Lud, and Aram. But then watch what it says in the 24th verse. And a fox-eyed, who is the son of Shem, begot Salah. And Salah begot Eber. And who is Eber? Eber, which is the third generation after Shem, but he's the fourth generation after Noah. And Eber is exactly what it is. It comes from the Hebrew word, the same Hebrew word as Hebrew, Ibrit. That's Eber. The same, mean the same, same word and everything. And when you study this generation, then now you're coming up to us, to the children of Israel. And that's why these generations must be studied. And we also know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that fourth seed, after Javan, that he fulfills the law of the Most High in the book of Joel. Let us turn to the book of Joel, the third chapter. Yeah, he fulfilled the words of Yahweh. And ask yourself, is this true? In other words, this is, again, law. This is what Yahweh said will happen. And what Yahweh say happens, you can bank on it. It is the law. And what is the law? The scriptures say the law is the truth. Get Joel almost there. In the book of Joel, and we're going to start reading at the first verse, just so you can understand it. For behold, in those days, and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Yehuda and Jerusalem, and I will also gather all nations, and will bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And most people don't know what Jehoshaphat means. It was a person, but this name has a meaning. And you got to know what this meaning is in order for you to understand the valley of Jehoshaphat. And we'll plead with them there for my people. And what do Jehoshaphat mean? So just to get right to the point. Jehoshaphat it means the judgment of Yahweh. Yahweh judge. In other words, this valley is where Yahweh will judge the nations, his people. Watch what it says. I will also gather all nations, will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and part of my land. Who did that? You can read that in the book of Psalms 83. That's been done. And they have cast lots for my people, have given a boy for a harlot, and that's what they did. Sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Yea, and what have we to do with, what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine, in other words, the Arabs? Will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because you have taken my silver and my gold. Who did this? They are these Arabs, the Ishmaelites, and have carried, and Africans, nations, and have carried into your temples my goodly and pleasant things. The children also of Yehuda and the children of Jerusalem have you sold to the Grecians, that you might remove them far from their border. Yeah, they sold us to the Grecians. The Greeks. That's who Javan is. That's who wear the coat of leprosy. And the coat of leprosy is called white. We're not confused about who they are versus this hairy red man Esau. It's no confusion at all. Once you begin to follow the very signs and wonders and laws, as well as testimonies of Yahweh, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. We were sold to the Greeks. So we're not confused about who these Gentile nations are, who is cursed with leprosy, versus someone that's red and hairy all over. There's no confusion at all. Not with us. And not with you if you begin to study these generations. 12 different generations that Yahweh laid down in the book of Genesis that will cover all 50 chapters of Genesis. But it really will cover the whole book, because you're not going to just read about Esau in Genesis, Ishmael in Genesis, the heavens in Genesis, the earth, generation of the earth in Genesis. You're not going to read about generations of Adam just in Genesis, the generations of Noah, the generations of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All these things would take you all over the book. And that's why you got to learn. That's what Genesis means. Bereshit, in the beginning. And how can you know your beginning without knowing your generation? Till tomorrow. Yahweh love you. And so do I. Shalom.
Let the judgment run down like the waters, and the righteousness flow as the stream. Let Yahweh's name be exalted in the high praise.